Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 66. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming together all nations and tongues. And they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, to all who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in all which you have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, a darkness, a gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated as we continue with our sermon song.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the Diet of Worms, or I guess if I'm proper German, the Diet of Worms, in 1521, Luther was asked to recant. That is, to reject his own books, his own faith. He was hauled basically before cardinals, top officials in the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. He had royal officials, and in fact, the emperor himself. And Luther was asked to recant. And he boldly said no. He said, I won't do it. And he ended his statement by saying, here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. Or did he? Or did he say that? You see, when you look at the transcripts from the Diet of Worms, you actually get two pictures. Some of the people that wrote the transcripts actually have those words, and other people that wrote the transcripts don't have them. In fact, they just have the fact that he says that he will not recant. And so there's this debate going over whether or not Luther actually said those words. Whether or not he actually said, here I stand, I can do no other. I think we like the idea that maybe he said those words. We find ourselves in a world very similar to Luther's. And I know we don't have to fight against like the Church of Rome and so on and so forth. But Luther was alone in a lot of ways. And he felt really ostracized. He felt really by himself. It felt like the world, to a certain degree, had kind of gone against him. And by default, gone against Scripture. And that's the way Luther truly felt. And we can understand that. The world doesn't look the same as it did 50 years ago or 100 years ago. All of a sudden we have fear. We have fear that whenever we are in the arms of our Savior, is our friends going to be with us? What about our neighbors? What about those one relatives? Maybe even, what about our own children? We have that fear that goes with us. And think, well, I'm saying all of this, and today is rally day, right? It's the beginning. All the new Sunday school stuff and the Bible study, we're getting ready to start confirmation again, and this is what we're talking about. We're talking about all those things, and we find ourselves really looking out at the world and having that question on our lips, that same question that's actually asked in our gospel lesson for today. Lord, are those who will be saved few? But you know, the question, even though it really is, and it sounds like the same question, it's not quite the same. You see, a lot of these people that were coming up to Jesus asking these questions, they were asking these questions because they were hot-button questions of the day. We've seen this before. This has happened over and over again. Should you pay taxes? Was one of them. One of them was, who is my neighbor? Right? We got the story of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? We have that whole question that's just drawn out. And Jesus has this way of answering this question and wrestling with these questions that tends to actually put it back on the person. And this today's text is no different. The man comes up and he asks the question. And he doesn't quite get the answer that he wants. You see, we actually have ancient Jewish books and texts that actually talk about this question in particular. Here's the question. The question is, on the day of salvation, are the ones that will be saved, are they just those that are ethnically Jewish? That is, the few. Or was God going to save the many? That is, those that were ethnically Jewish and the Gentiles. So, is it the few? Or is it the many? Which one? How many were going to be saved? That's the question. And Jesus does answer it. It's more towards the end, right? They're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west. They're coming from everywhere. But notice how he starts. He doesn't start by saying, no, it's the many. Instead, Jesus says, don't worry about everybody else. You strive to enter the narrow gate. You strive to enter. And I think we get caught up in that sometimes. We like to talk about the narrow gate. That's what we usually focus on. Personally, as I was reading the text over and over again this past week, what really stuck out to me was not the narrow gate, but what actually came after it. There are those that are going to be knocking on the door saying, "Lord, we knew you, we ate with you, we were with you," and he's going to turn them away and say, "No, I do not know you." You see, you can't just have a passing acquaintance with Jesus. You can't just know about Jesus. It's about having faith in Jesus. Let me explain. See, there's a difference between me knowing theologically, academically, that Jesus hung upon the cross so that he could die for the sins of the world. I can know that. I can know all that information. But there's a difference between that and knowing that Jesus died for me. Knowing that Jesus died for Chris Sansom. That Jesus hung on the cross and bled for my sins and paid the price for me and paid the price for you. There's a difference between just knowing that information and having faith that Jesus died for you. And sometimes that faith is really strong. Sometimes that faith is big enough to move mountains. But sometimes that faith isn't big at all. Sometimes that faith is meek and humble, and it feels like I'm just scraping by. And I think all of us go through that. We have those waves where we feel like we just really get it, and then there's other times whenever we're just grasping, just barely grasping on. And you know, the Holy Spirit tells us that he works through means. He works through God's Word. It's one of the reasons it's so important to come to church, right? We come to church week after week after week, to hear God's Word, to hear it proclaimed again and again and again. It's one of the reasons that Bible study, Sunday school, and confirmation is so important. Not just so we can collect a bunch of information, but so that we can hear God's Word and His promises over and over again. Look, I get it. Sometimes that isn't the most fun thing in the world. This is like every kid out there, right? He's like, sometimes. But you know what? You know what? Brushing your teeth isn't fun every day either. But we do it because we understand there's consequences to not brushing our teeth. We go to church every single Sunday because we know that the Holy Spirit draws us in and strengthens us in faith. And he uses us gathering around his means, and he strengthens us through his sacraments week after week, day after day, if we read our scriptures every single day. You know, one of the things that's wrong with this is the picture. It's the picture. It's all off. The picture's all wrong. Let me explain. You see, earlier I talked about how in 1521, what Luther did, what Luther said. And the truth be told is if you look at the transcripts, there's an interesting picture that emerges. The people that have his statement, "Here I stand, I can do no other, God help me," they're all the ones that are closest to him. You see, after Luther said no, he would not recant, all the crowd began to erupt. And all those people that were transcribing the event couldn't hear Luther because Luther didn't say that last phrase with boldness. Luther stood before a giant and he said what needed to be said in meekness and humility. And not everybody could hear him, but those that were closest to him, they heard. And they wrote it down. Did Luther say, "Here I stand"? Yes, he did. But he said it with humility. He said it in meekness. You see, what's important is not that your faith be on top of the mountain. What's important is that you have faith in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's important that you know that Jesus went to the cross for you. It's not just an intellectual exercise. He went to the cross for you. You can insert your name there. He went to the cross for me, for Chris Sansom. He went to the cross for you. He died for you. He gave you salvation through his work. He paid the price of your sins. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we go to the Lord now in a moment of prayer and confess our sins before our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, and we have sinned in so many ways, in thoughts and words and deeds. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us our sins, not for the sake of what we've done, but for the sake of what your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has done for us. Hear us now as we confess our sins in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, and forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. this time, I'm going to ask our DCE Matt to play a little bit more music, and I'm going to go around getting prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, please raise your hand. I'll come to you, and that's, I think, it'll be the best work, and we'll move along.
Thank you.
All right, I think we're ready. Let us now stand as we prepare our hearts for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Each petition will end, let us pray to the Lord. The congregational response is, "Hear, Lord, have mercy." Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come together this day and we pray for peace in the world, for unity, concord within the church, for harmony, patience, and love within the family, and for all that contribute to the common good. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For schools and colleges and universities and every other place where people gather to teach and learn, for the wisdom of God's word to guide our knowledge of His creation, and for the flourishing of all arts and music, science and technology to benefit all people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For good weather, for the fruits of the earth, for honest industry, for noble labor, and for the grace to use well God's good gifts without esteeming them more than the God who gives them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those that are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, including Rick and Mary Husey as they celebrate 39 years of marriage. And also we celebrate the birth of a grandson for Don Herman from his daughter Rachel. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For pastors, DCEs, and all church workers that proclaim the word of God, we especially ask that you would be with those who are deliberating calls, including Matt Hall, as he deliberates a call to Zion Lutheran Church in Brighton, Colorado, that you would give him guidance during this time. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this congregation and for those who offer here their worship and praise, for our communion upon the blessed body and blood of Christ, and for the discipline of the Lord's house, especially we pray for those who worship and praise the Lord here, including the Sondag, Stewart, and Stocks families, that all may be strengthened in faith and love toward you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and for those that are suffering, for the troubled in mind and our heart, for the grieving in their sorrow and for the dying in their last days on earth, especially today, we pray for those that are having medical difficulties, including Carl Frazier, Debbie Estep, Sandy Munter, and Joel Lutz. We also pray for those that are hospitalized, including Bill Kruger and Dallas Scroggins. For all those that are preparing for surgery, including Cheryl Ubin, who will have surgery later this week. And we also pray for those that are recovering from surgery, including Fran Flexenhauer and Christy Brown. And also for Sandy Lutz as she continues. All this, Lord, we give to you, and we ask that you would care for them, ever bringing them closer to you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those that are sick, Lord, and all those that are dying, that you would attend to the dying as for those who care for our children, for the police, the firefighters, emergency medical personnel, and disaster relief workers, and for our generous support of those in need. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those that are mourning this day, for the family and friends of Marshall Lawson and Brian Hartman, that you would put your almighty arms around them and grant them the comfort and the peace that only you can give, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. To you, O Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, worship, and praise, now and even to the end of the ages. Amen. Let us now boldly pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may now be seated as we continue our service with the Lord's Supper. Thank you. Please stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Trust in you.